Yeah, Thanksgiving is a wonderful time of year. I enjoy it because it leads into Christmas, which is one of my favorite times of year, and then into Easter, which is just awesome. So it's just a great beginning of a season. And the devil tries to attack these things. Have you noticed? These kind of milestones, these celebrations that give glory to God. How many of you have seen or heard or this year seen that greeting of Happy Turkey Day instead of Thanksgiving? Have you ever heard about this or seen this? Okay, yeah, I've seen it online. You see it in stores sometimes. They replace Happy Thanksgiving with Happy Turkey Day. And at first, I didn't think about it. Like, whatever, not a big deal. You know, it's Thanksgiving, we eat turkey. It's not a big deal. But then I thought about, yeah, it is a big deal. And we don't even see this. We see this more extremely even with Christmas. You know, our society is moving in a situation where the greeting of saying Merry Christmas, they're trying to abolish that you say more inclusively, you say Happy Holidays. Or even drastically, you see Xmas, and they take Christ right out of Christmas. And so many times, people don't even think about it. Easter, they replace Easter and the meaning of Easter with chocolate and the Easter bunny, a total fairy tale thing. So it is a big deal. Satan desires to remove all reference to God from anything that is the purpose of giving him worship and praise. That is what he wants to do. He wants to divert worship off of God and off onto himself and worldly things. And therefore he begins to chip away at the foundation, these little rocks that we may not even think about in the foundation. Before we know it, foundations crumble, right? How many builders know that? There's a little crack in the foundation. That foundation starts to spread and grow bigger. And before you know it, it's cracked and the building's leaning and even breaking down. The devil slowly takes away something here, something there. And even us Christians, we fail to see the importance of such things. The fact is, we seem to be ignorant of his designs to oppose the church, to oppose God's work, as 2 Corinthians 2:11 talks about. And we willingly refuse to see the impact of his deceptions. We think it's such a little thing, it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. He wants people to stop worshiping God by giving him thanks. Instead, the devil desires to make humans worship creation rather than the Creator. And so many people are doing that. Think about it. Just look at if you look at the meanings of these two words, thanksgiving, to give thanks to God, to praise His name, to worship Him, to uplift Him. And Turkey Day, it popularizes the feast, time spent edifying our flesh, literally. Thanksgiving tells us to remember to worship God. Turkey Day tells us to think only about the eating and the drinking. And the Bible says their God is their belly. Their focus is on the earthly things. That's Philippians 3:19. And Satan, he just sits back and laughs as we're apathetic and go along with it and don't think much about it. But it's time we quit looking at the battle between us, between goodness and light, and the force of darkness is some future Armageddon that's going to take place, and start realizing the battle is here today in the now. As we wait for Christ to return, to usher in His kingdom, we often sit back and sit on our hands and allow the enemy to do as he wills in our society because we don't want to rock the boat or be that guy or be called a fanatic. But I have news for us, church. God did not call us to be popular in the world or comfortable. He called us to be faithful. Faithful. Obedient. Faithful to live out the gospel, to preach it. Faithful to live out the convictions that come through His Word to us and through the Holy Spirit's leading. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Amen. Church, we must stop allowing Satan to deceive us with his beguiling ways. We do not celebrate Thanksgiving for a turkey feast or even as a day to gather as family and friends. No, we celebrate Thanksgiving for the sole purpose of giving thanks to God. That is the number one thing it's about. Glory unto God. Glory unto Jesus Christ. God declares in his word, "I will not give my glory unto another." If we try to give the praise that is supposed to be given to God to our own wants or lust, then we're worshiping ourselves, the created, and not the Creator, Jesus Christ. So we must remember to give thanks unto God. Don't forget to thank God. It's easy to ask for things when we have needs, right? We all have needs, so it's easy to ask. But what do we do? What do we teach our children when they receive something? Yes, say thank you. Why? Because the need has been met, and we should be grateful for the one who provided for our needs and thank them. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19, tells a story of 10 lepers. Let's read it together. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now leprosy was a contagious skin disease. It was terrible. Leprous people were cut off from society. They were isolated, exiled. They were treated as unclean. They had to dwell outside of cities in the camp. It was a nasty disease that literally your body was rotting away. And on top of that, they had to deal with such rejection. So what Jesus does here for these leprous people is amazing. He literally gives them a new life. And the reason Jesus tells them to go show themselves to the priest is because after inspection, the priest would declare them healthy and clean and to be able to re-enter society. And notice that they have to take action before the healing happens. It says, on their way, on their journey to see the priest, they were cleansed. And then something interesting happens. One of these leprous people, a Samaritan, a foreigner, stops and goes back to Jesus, praising God and giving thanks to Jesus. And what's Jesus' reply? He says, "Was there not 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? For whatever reason, they did not come before Jesus to give him thanks. They must have seen that one person leave and praising God on the way to go to Jesus, yet they still kept going. For some reason, they did not see that as of important. And this teaches us that we're not to forget to give thanks to God first and foremost. Not to get wrapped up in what has happened, but to stop and thank God and praise Him. If you think back over the last year, what's the greatest thing God has done in your life? Perhaps you received a new job, or got married, or have a new child, an opportunity to study, whatever it may be. Today is a good day to thank God for what He has done, to uplift His name, to praise Him. So let's not forget to give thanks to God. Have you ever thought about sometimes how giving thanks can be a sacrifice? Sometimes we feel we don't have a reason to give thanks because we have experienced a disappointment. Sometimes we may not receive healing or get better. Sometimes we may still be financially tight after asking. Sometimes that load of stress is still upon us. It's easy to focus on what we need next or what we don't have rather than focus on what we do have. Acts chapter 16 tells us how Paul and his companions were on a missions trip. And they're forbidden by God. The Holy Spirit tells them not to go to Asia. And later Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia who's asking them to come and help. And they go there and they preach and there are salvations. A wealthy lady named Lydia is baptized with her whole household. And she invites them to stay with her family. And things are really looking up. Good things are happening. Except for there's this one slave girl who keeps bothering them. And then things get really bad. So let's read about this in chapter 16 of Acts. And we'll read 16 to 33. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination. So witchcraft, demonic. And brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Once again, demonic. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having come greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. He took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. What an amazing result from thanksgiving, from praising God in the prison. Paul and Silas went through a pretty tough ordeal. They were seized. They were stripped. They were beaten and thrown in jail. But what did they do? Did they whine? Did they complain to God? If I was there, I'd probably say, "Lord, why did you let them beat us?" No, instead they prayed and they sang worship before God, giving thanks. And what amazing things resulted. The jailer and his household was saved and baptized. It's usually really hard to understand why things happen sometimes. But our attitude through them, is vital to the outcome. Let's offer up our thanksgiving as sacrifice before the Lord, even in difficult times, remembering what we still have in Christ, what is truly important, salvation and the calling of God for us to fulfill the mission, the great commission that he's given us to preach and make disciples and baptize them and teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. We're to make thanksgiving a lifestyle, not just a day. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Alongside rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, we're to do what? Give thanks in all circumstances. That's when times are good, when times are bad, when we're suffering, when we have nothing, when we have everything. We're giving thanks to God. Every day. When we look at the Israelites, they started complaining from the very first obstacle they encountered, the Red Sea. They said in Exodus 14, "Why do you bring us to die in the desert where there not enough graves in Egypt? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone to be slaves?" Poor Moses. But he was a man of great patience, because no sooner had they got through this amazing miracle, the sea being parted, and saved from the Egyptian army, that 3 days later in the desert, they start complaining about food and water. And we think that's so silly, after witnessing such mighty works of God, to complain and moan and complain again. But we're no different. We like to think we are, but we're no different. We can be different, but it takes us to be spirit-filled. Obedient to God. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord." Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord? Put your hand up if you have. Amen. So this is for us all who've received Christ Jesus the Lord. "So walk in him." Walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. "Just as you were taught." Oh, yes. Abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. We are to be in Christ every day, rooted in him, built up in him. Our identity, our purpose must be in Jesus Christ. And part of that identity is to be abounding in our thanksgiving to God. It should be spilling out, spilling over in our lives, never stopping, never ceasing to give Him thanks. How to live your life as one giving thanks to God. It should be seen or heard in your words. Ephesians 5:4 says, "Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be what? Thanksgiving." Thanksgiving. What words are coming out of your mouth? Think about it. When you're at work, when you're alone, what words are you saying? I know we're not perfect. We say words that we shouldn't. We say those even to other people. Replace those words with thanksgiving. Strive to do that. To live our life as one giving thanksgiving, we need to show kindness to others by our deeds. Hebrews 13:15-16 says, "Through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God." Once again, thanksgiving, praise to God. "That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." We give praise and thanks to Him by acknowledging His name as the provider. And this thanksgiving in us spurs us forward to do good, share what we have. And when we give generously. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." God enriches us so that we can be generous in every way, meaning not only wealth and money, but also in other ways, our time, our knowledge, our possessions, helping each other. And such generosity will produce thanksgiving to God in others. Have you thought about that? That your generosity, your help, by using that what God has given you that you're thankful for other people's lives, will see the need for others to also give thanks to God. Living a life of thanksgiving, we can do that by sharing our story. Psalm 105, verses 1, says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of all His wondrous works." By sharing your story, your life, your testimony, what Jesus has done in your life, it prompts thanksgiving in not only yourself, but also others. Others will give glory and thanks to God for what He has done, the mighty works in each of our lives. That's why it's so important as a body of believers that we share what God is doing and has done in our lives. The miracles we've witnessed, and not forget them, but talk about them and give glory to God. So often we kind of feel that, okay, I've shared this testimony maybe too many times. It's old. Anyone had that feeling ever about their testimony? Or, yeah, it's true. I confess in the same way. But we should not think about it. We should give all these things before God and talk about them and give thanks and not forget them and pass them down from generation to generation. So our kids, they remember, I remember my dad or my granddad, he always told this story about the wonderful healing that God did in his life, or whatever it may be. That these things pass down and glory and thankfulness is given to God and the miracles and His provision in our lives. So don't forget your testimony. Don't be afraid to share it. Share your story. and sing to him, sing praises to him, as we do at church, tell of his wondrous works. So let's not let the enemy chip away at the foundations of how we worship God. Let's remember to keep thanksgiving about praising God first and foremost, acknowledging him for what he has given us. Let's remember to give thanks to God for what he has done, for the answered prayers in our lives, for his provision for our everyday needs, and ultimately for the everlasting life and salvation we have in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is something that nothing in this world can take away from us, Jesus Christ, and the faith that we have in him and the work that he's done on the cross for us to have salvation. Nothing can take that from us. So let's give thanks. Let's remember that thanksgiving can be an offering, a sacrifice. Even the toughest moments in our life, we are to offer up our worship and thanks that we may even witness a miracle of God, as Paul and Silas did. And let's remember that thanksgiving is not just one day of the year. It's every day. We live a lifestyle of giving thanks. Thankfulness needs to be a position of our heart, a mindset. So if you find yourself grumbling, just go, okay, now I got to give two reasons to thank God. And say it out loud. Have you guys ever noticed that? When you say something out loud and you hear it yourself, it has a different impact. It changes your attitude. It lifts you up and brings joy. So say it out loud. There's such power in words. I don't think we realize how much power there is in words. But how did God create creation? By his words. There's power in our words. I want to close off with Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. You have to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Can I ask you to stand with me as we pray?